Welcome, everyone, to the Health Ranger Show. I'm your host, Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, joined today by Governor Jesse Ventura. Now, you probably know about Jesse Ventura's work. He is the creator of the show called Conspiracy Theory. He has a new book out called American Conspiracies. He's a New York Times best-selling author, and his book will be available in bookstores everywhere. Welcome to the show, Jesse. It's great to have you on.
Nice to be on, Mike. And you might add, too, that I'm sure they can probably order the book over the internet also.
Now, this is a topic that gets a lot of people riled up. It seems to me that a lot of Americans kind of live in a bubble where they don't think there are such things as conspiracy theories. How do you bridge that?
I don't know. That's one of the real dilemmas. That's kind of the 800-pound gorilla that you face, because we have an ego in this country that somehow we believe that our government is totally on the up and up and doesn't do anything illegal or wrong, and yet we suspect every other government around the world. And I get that perception very much upon living in Mexico. When you view the United States from the outside looking in as opposed to the inside looking out, you get a whole different perception of it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mentioned before we started recording, I live outside the country too, and the expats that I talk to, you know, they have some of the same views that you espouse in your show, and the kind of skeptical thinking or critical thinking that you practice is practiced elsewhere around the world, but often not in the continental United States. It's a strange thing.
Yeah, I don't know. You know what I really believe it is? I believe that in our country, we have a great majority of people don't want to not believe in the American dream.
Right.
And if something of a major conspiracy were shown to them and proven beyond any doubt the government did it, I think it would destroy a lot of the American dream for a lot of people. And that's why they're really in self-imposed denial, I think.
Ah, yeah. Hence the need for making these conspiracies so, well, they make the excuses, the deniability, if you will, so strong so that they don't get caught in just one of them and the whole house of cards falls, right?
Yep. And that's what I believe it is. But then again, I'm not a psychologist or anything, so
yeah.
Take it with that grain of salt.
Let's talk about what are these conspiracy theories. I mean, people are familiar with, of course, the 9/11 situation, but what are some of the other conspiracies that you really focus on in your new book, American Conspiracies?
Well, we go all the way back to Abraham Lincoln. We start with Abraham Lincoln, and the reason I started there is because it's interesting. I learned more doing this book than I did in all my school years and education years about the assassination of the president. I don't know if you know this, but I never knew this till I went into this book and did this book. It was a major conspiracy. Eight other people besides John Wilkes Booth, of course he was killed, eight other people stood trial, were convicted, four of them were sentenced to death, including the first woman.
Wow. No, I didn't.
Now, how come we're not taught that in our high school and junior high history classes?
Right, it's always put on one
guy. And I know that we're not. You know how I know we're not? Because I wasn't taught it, as well as my nephew's 15 right now. And I happened to breach the subject with him a month or so ago. I asked him, I said, what do you know about the murder or the assassination of Abraham Lincoln? And he basically recited to me that what we all know, that Lincoln went to the Ford Theater, Booth snuck in behind him, shot him in the back of the head, screamed something, leaped to the ground, hurt his leg, they chased him down in a farmhouse, burnt it down, and killed him. That's what he was taught.
Right.
He knew nothing that eight other people were tried, and really it was a massive conspiracy. What was supposed to happen, not only was Lincoln to die, so was Vice President Johnson, Secretary of State Seward, as well as Ulysses S. Grant. But they were only successful on one of them.
And so we have a whole history, then, of American conspiracy. What, I mean, bring us
well,
up to
I mean,
modern.
Look at why aren't we taught that in school?
Yeah, good question. Well,
do you want to know why I believe it? They don't want any conspiracy taught, because that way it sets the stage for all these other ones.
Right.
They're all lone nuts. The other interesting thing to think about, every one of these lone nut conspirators, how come they teach you all three of their names? John Wilkes Booth, Lee Harvey Oswald, Mark David Chapman. Now, I'll ask you a question. Can I ask you one?
Yeah, sure.
What's Charles Manson's middle name?
Right. You don't know. It's never taught.
Exactly. The most notorious murderer in American history, you ain't got a clue what his middle name is, but every one of these political assassins, you know all three of their names. That's psychological, so that you'll always equate it to just that person.
Very interesting. Now, do you think that these assassins, I mean, in your show, your conspiracy theory show, you cover MKUltra, you cover Manchurian candidates and post-hypnotic suggestions. Do you think these three assassins were manipulated in that way?
I don't think Oswald was. Lee Harvey, no, not at all. I think Oswald was actually a contract agent for the CIA and also worked, he had a number with the FBI too as an informant. But all of that stuff, of course, the government won't let us see because they lock it up in the National Archives. So we can't even see Lee Harvey Oswald's tax return. And you know why? Because of national security. How could Lee Harvey Oswald, a former private in the Marine Corps, tax return be of national security?
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
Well, I can tell you why. Because on his tax return, it might say he was getting paid by the government.
Sure.
Which would then lead to the fact that, wait a minute, he's not who they told us he was.
Uh-huh.
See, so they've got to continue to hide his tax return.
Yeah, a lot of little
because
details.
If it came out that he was paid by a government agency or something that they could follow a paper trail back to the government, well, that would destroy the whole Oswald myth, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
There you go.
I was really happy to see your work moving in this direction in the last few years, by the way, after you got out of politics being, well, I don't know if you got out completely, but I mean, you served as the governor of Minnesota. And I remember you had an audio program out at that time that was very popular. I listened to it. It was very inspiring. I think it was called Do I Stand Alone? Remember that program?
No, it wasn't the program. That was my second book.
Oh, the book. I had the audio version of the book then.
Yeah, that was my second book. My first book was I Ain't Got Time to Bleed. My second one was Do I Stand Alone? Then I wrote Don't Start the Revolution Without Me. And now this one, American Conspiracies.
Now, what then? I mean, you must have seen things as governor that you can't even talk about. I mean,
no, I talk about them. I talk about them in this book. Did you know that there's a CIA agent implanted in all state government?
No, it's not,
and I find that interesting because the CIA's mission statement says they're not to be operational inside the United States. Now, I can't vouch for the other 49 states, but it is in Minnesota, and I can't believe Minnesota's the exception.
Well, you were interviewed by a CIA, a team.
23 of them.
Yeah.
Yep.
What's that all about?
I don't know. Ask them.
Okay, well, this
they
brings
requested,
up...
and I did it. And, well, it was interesting because all the questions pertain to how I got elected.
Yes.
So I looked at it as either number one, I talked to my friend Dick Marcinko. I called Dick that day, the former commander of SEAL Team 6, a friend of mine, because Dick's more savvy on that stuff. And I asked Dick what he thought it was about. He said, they didn't see you coming. You were off the radar screen. All of a sudden you win, and you're the most famous politician next to Bill Clinton. And now, did they not see me coming because they were embarrassed because they didn't see me coming? Or was this interview to learn about how I got elected so there would be no more independents doing that?
That was one of the themes of your second book was being an independent in there. I mean, you were attacked by both sides of the aisle.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, no one
plus
gave
the media.
You the credit that you deserve for having new ideas there.
Plus the media attacked me.
Right.
Because they're in the back pockets of the two parties.
Of course. Okay, then this leads me to another question. A lot of people
okay.
are asking me this about you, and sometimes I get asked this question too because I cover a lot of conspiracies about Big Pharma. But how on earth do you stay alive? I mean, why are they allowing you to publish books and to have a voice? I mean, it's a legitimate question that people keep asking.
Well, look at it this way, okay? If everything in my book is bogus and not true, well, then they don't have anything to worry about, and why wouldn't I be alive? Now, if it is true, then your question has valid. But then again, if it is true, you know, but I think they prefer just to poo-poo it.
Right, right.
You know, ignore it. It'll go away.
Yeah.
And that's how they always survive it. They just ignore it. Anything that comes forward, they ignore.
Well, it's almost like if they went after you, they would give credence to what you're talking about.
Exactly, because if they went after me, then it would show that I was on the trail.
Exactly.
I don't know. You know, my wife worries about me all the time. And in fact, we have a standard thing that I told her, and we agree, if anything happens to me, don't accept what they tell you.
Right.
Like if I happen to fall off a building.
Of course. No, I've gotten to the point where I have a set of data that gets released if something happens to me. And, you know, a set of data, video, documentaries, files, and things like that. I let that be known out there just so that they know something's going to get out.
Well, one of the things, some people have told me that I'm too high profile.
Yeah, could be.
You know, that may play into it too. But then I thought back and thought, well, who's higher profile than President Kennedy? And he got killed.
Good point. Now, speaking of high profile, you're doing book signings all over the East Coast and the West Coast with your new book, American Conspiracies. It's great to get out to the public. Have you already done some of those signings, or is that just beginning?
No. Today's actually the first day. I just flew up from Mexico late last night, and I got into New York City about 10:30 last night, and today's the first day. I'll be on the Today Show tomorrow. I'm on Larry King tonight, and then I'm on The View again, and I'm on a few other shows. But amazingly, nobody at Fox Nighttime will have me on.
That seems strange.
They're afraid of me. They can't bully me. So they avoid me, but I'm doing Fox Morning tomorrow, and I'm going to say it right on the air. I'm going to say, what's the matter with your tough nighttime guys? How come they're all afraid of me? They can't bully me? Is that the deal?
But you're getting on lots of major media outlets, and this really speaks to, I think, that there's a new acceptability now about conspiracy theories. I mean, people understand more about the Federal Reserve now, and even 9/11 is starting to go mainstream in some aspects, wouldn't you say?
Well, it's getting there, and that's because more of us are asking questions. See, that's the key to this whole thing, is not to be afraid to ask questions. Don't back down. Don't accept the status quo. One of the most unique, I start my book off with a quote from a guy who I think you and I will both agree is smarter than us two probably together. And here's the quote. Quote, a foolish faith in authority is the worst enemy of truth. I'll repeat that. A foolish faith in authority is the worst enemy of truth. Who do you think said that?
I would guess Jefferson, but I'm not sure.
Albert Einstein.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. I start the book off with a quote from Albert Einstein, and to me, it tells the whole book. A foolish faith in authority is the worst of truth, the worst enemy of truth.
Well, and that's what we have right now, an epidemic, I think, in America, of foolish faith in authority.
Yeah. Well, that's because through the Bush administration, we were told that if you go against the government, you're unpatriotic.
Yeah.
You know, you couldn't speak out against the Iraq war. They wouldn't let anybody because that was unpatriotic. And what they don't realize, Thomas Jefferson said dissension is the greatest form of patriotism.
Uh-huh. That's right. Now, in your book, do you cover the Federal Reserve and the money supply? I did not get an advanced
copy. Yeah, we cover, that's the chapter on, let's see here, I've got it in front of me. Let me get to the, what do we name that chapter? That chapter is the Wall Street Conspiracy.
Yes.
It's the second to the last one.
Just lay it out for people and expose what's really happening with the money supply?
Well, as best we can. Remember, I'm not a Harvard economist, you know, I don't know fully. You know, it's
sure.
Beyond me. But I do spell out the fact that it's interesting how the whole thing, the bailout, went down, how they let Lehman Brothers go to the dogs, and they saved, what's the other one?
Goldman Sachs?
Goldman Sachs, thank you. And yet, it stands to reason, because I think the last six secretary to the treasuries all came out of Goldman Sachs. And that's what we point out in the book, is how even Obama's Goldman Sachs, every president for the last 25 years, or more, has had their head of the Treasury has come out of Goldman Sachs, and they're the ones that got bailed out.
Sure.
Lehman Brothers went down the tubes. Now, think about it. What better way to eliminate and monopolize your competition?
Yeah, absolutely. Let the competition fail and bail out yourself.
That's right. So they let the ones go by the wayside while the others got more, you know, a monopoly.
Yeah. But isn't that the way big corporations run everything now? I mean, you know, look at medicine. I cover mostly medicine on our website. But medicine, it's the same thing, that the drug companies want to keep you as their patient while they outlaw everything else that might help protect you.
Yep. It's all about follow the money.
Do you cover aspartame or any of the other health conspiracies in your book?
No.
But
Let me go back to the thing, and I can run them down here quick for you. We do the first Not Alone Nut, John Wilkes Booth. The big money plot to overthrow FDR, the Kennedy assassination, the assassination of Malcolm X, the murder of Martin Luther King, the assassination of Robert Kennedy, Watergate revisited, the CIA's war against Nixon, and that's a shocker. It may not be anything what you thought about Watergate, and I'll tell you, let me read you a quote, if I may. Let me see if I can find that again. It's a quote from G. Gordon Liddy that he said in the year 2004, I think. Liddy said, let me get to it here. I got it marked, so it shouldn't take me too long to find it. Now I can't, but we'll get to it here. It's here somewhere.
That's all right. Keep looking for it.
Oh, here it is. In 2004, here's what Watergate burglar G. Gordon Liddy once said, and he said this in 2004, quote, "The official version of Watergate is as wrong as a Flat Earth Society pamphlet." Now, what is he saying there?
He's saying it's a total
whitewash.
He's
saying that what they told you about Watergate is completely wrong. It was done for another reason. And the reason we show is that it was done by the CIA to take Nixon down. Because Nixon was wanting the stuff from the Kennedy assassination. See, they tied in. And if you look, here's another interesting thing. The same people that are neck deep in the Kennedy assassination were likewise neck deep in Watergate. The Cubans, Howard Hunt, Sturgis, all of those cast of characters.
Wow. Okay, so you document all this. You detail what you found.
Yep.
Did you have to do a lot of research for this book? Did you have a team of researchers working
with
you?
I personally did not. My co-writer, Dick Russell, deserves the kudos for that. Dick is a phenomenal researcher. Dick did all the research. All I had to do was read his research and put it into a book. Dick's name is on the book with me, and he deserves to be, his name ain't as big as mine, but it should be.
Your show, Conspiracy Theory, have you wrapped up the season on that, or are there more in production?
Yeah, but we've wrapped it up, but they've ordered 8 to 10 more, so we'll be going back in production probably around June.
Ah, fantastic.
Oh, yeah, we're back. Well, we're the highest rated show Crew's ever had.
It's a fantastic show.
Yeah, we did. We were lucky. We held an audience on cable TV of about 1.5 million. And which, when you got 250 choices, that's doing okay.
Yes, certainly. And there's a lot of buzz about the show all over the net. People are talking about it.
Good.
I mean, it's very viral. Social networks
see,
and the whole thing.
See, to me, the internet's our last hope. They don't have control of it yet, but believe me, they're going to try.
Oh, you know they are. And if not just with the internet, with hate speech laws and all that they can bring down selectively.
Yep.
Can you give us some hints about what's coming up in the future shows, or is that off limits until it goes through production?
I would love to tell you, but I can't do that because we haven't decided yet.
Ah, okay.
That'll be the next battle. We've got about 20 conspiracies, and we'll have to get it cut in half, and so I'll battle back and forth with them and see what comes through the wash, because sometimes the network wants to do a particular one that I don't want to do,
right.
And then other times there's stuff I want to do that they don't want to do. So, you know, we got to negotiate our way through that, but that won't be a big problem. We'll eventually get 8 to 10 of them done for sure.
You know, there's some really rich material on the mass fluoridation of the water supply, on the use of mercury in dental fillings and the American Dental Association.
We'll probably be going forward on one dealing solely with food.
Ah, excellent.
You know, I can't officially tell you that, but we will, that there is one on the list.
Well, and of course, aspartame is a big one. That goes back to Donald Rumsfeld and Searle and the FDA corruption and all that.
Yep.
That's a big one, too. Well, we look forward to whatever you decide to cover. We look forward to it.
You know, the thing people have to remember, though, about the TV show is that it is not a documentary. It's entertainment.
Yeah, well, that's an important distinction.
But that's good for me, because that way I have a defense. When people come at me saying, "What are you trying to do?" I say, "Hey, we're just entertaining. You know, it's entertainment. We're not a documentary."
Right, right. But does that also...
See, we've bridged the reality here. What we've done with the TV show, we've made people who are not actors, actors by them simply talking about their life experience that they experience. They become the actor, and there's no script writing for it.
Right.
That's the new gap we've bridged there. We're turning regular people into actors in these conspiracies.
Yeah, it's a really interesting format for those of you listening who have never watched the show. Check it out, because you go out and you and your team, you find these experts in these different areas, and you put them on camera, you put them on mic, and you get them talking.
Well, not only that, but generally it's someone comes to me with the conspiracy.
Ah, I see.
They've reached a brick wall. So they come to me. That's what happened on 9/11. The O'Connor woman who lost her daughter and her future grandchild was so frustrated because the government won't investigate. She's totally unhappy with the 9/11 commission. And she came to us like as a desperation.
Ah, right. Yeah.
And so I view it as, hey, damn right we'll look into it.
Sure.
We owe that to the survivors.
Now, one of your first episodes dealt with HAARP and the weather modification system. Now, you must feel really vindicated now more than ever that after that show aired, we got hit with massive earthquakes on our planet and really freaky, weird weather events happening. Do you feel like that's some vindication for some of the theories you talked about in that episode?
Well, you know, HAARP, as Dr. Nick Begich said to me on the show, he said, "Governor, this is the death ray." And, you know, it is very concerning because HAARP can control the weather. The other part about it is you hear everybody talking about global warming, right?
Yeah.
How do they know HAARP's not causing it?
Yeah, good point.
They're shooting this stuff into the ionosphere and it heats it up there. Well, what result that comes out of that? And see, on the HAARP thing, here's the real conspiracy. You remember the tsunami that hit Indonesia?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, there was no warning.
That's right.
Normally, there's an earthquake. Normally, there's something happens. That thing came right out of the blue. Well, here's the conspiracy on it. People that were there said that right before the tsunami hit, they saw massive northern lights. Well, that's what you see when HAARP's pumped up. Well, guess what? In Indonesia, you can't see the northern lights.
Well, that's interesting, but wasn't it? I mean, the official explanation was that the epicenter of the earthquake was just so close to the shoreline that nobody had any time. That's what they say.
Well, that may be true, but well, it's like Alex, one of my investigators, he's forever the cynical one. Alex looked at me and said, "Governor, are you trying to tell me that they killed thousands of people for no reason?" I said, "No, Alex, I'm not telling you that. But what I will say to you is, what if they were just testing it? And what if this happened during the test of it?" I said, "What do you think they're going to do? Come out and say, oops?" You know, of course they're going to deny anything. They may have just been testing this damn thing and found out that it's 10 times more powerful than they thought it was.
You know, the other part of that story, which I don't think you had time to cover this on your show, but you know, every time there's a big natural disaster in the world and all these Western countries come in to, quote, rescue that country, you know what they're doing. They're installing their corporations to run the infrastructure, run the telecom. It's all about contract money.
Yep. Well, I've already made the statement I wouldn't serve in the U.S. military today because I don't believe that you represent the American people. I believe that you're the muscle of the corporate America.
Yeah, that's a very strong statement. I mean, you served as a U.S. Navy SEAL. You had a special training in demolitions, underwater demolitions, right?
We all do. That's who we are. We used to be the underwater demolition teams, the UDT teams. And then in 1962, Kennedy formed the SEAL team, and they still had UDT teams. I actually served with UDT for 3 years, and then 2 years with SEAL 1. But then in, I think, the early 80s, they decommissioned all the UDT teams. And my old UDT 12 today, I think, is SEAL Team 5. But it's all the same training. It's called BUDS, and BUDS stands for Basic Underwater Demolition SEAL.
Now, for you to say that you wouldn't serve in the military today,
yep,
is that's a very strong statement. Do you feel a risk? There might be a risk of, you know, some of your old buddies might not like to hear that, or
they may not. But I think when I tell them my reasoning, they would understand.
Sure.
Because see, I don't believe today that the U.S. military is there to defend our people. I think that, as I said, they're there to be the strong arm of corporate America. When somebody doesn't go along with corporate America, we send in the military. And believe me, it's been going along on longer than that. Read the conspiracy on FDR, and you'll read about a tremendous Marine by the name of Smedley Butler. Butler won, I think, 2 or 3 Congressional Medals of Honor. 2 for sure, and it may be 3. Congressional Medals of Honor. Butler says that way back in the 30s. He said, "All I did was serve the American corporate interests in making sure the corporations could function in all these foreign countries." And this is way back at World War I time.
That's amazing.
Oh, read the chapter on Smedley Butler. It's a great chapter. You'll find out that all these Wall Street guys were the guys that were trying to overthrow FDR and put in a fascist government. And none of them even went to jail or were tried for it.
Just a reminder for those listening, you are listening to an interview with Governor Jesse Ventura, author of the new book, American Conspiracies, available in bookstores everywhere, including online, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and so on. And Jesse is also, or Governor Ventura, is also the creator of the Conspiracy Theory TV series. And we've just learned here that you're going to have, what, 8 to 10 more episodes in the next...
Yeah, 8 for sure, and possibly 10.
All right. Fantastic.
And we'll probably start shooting those, I'm guessing, around June.
Can I change topics here a bit and ask you?
Sure.
How do you know when to dismiss a conspiracy theory as just not credible enough to pursue? I mean, I'm sure people come to you with all kinds of stuff.
Well,
how do you sort it out?
We don't. Basically, we'll pursue unless there's no interest. You know, if it's a subject like they wanted me to do one on Scientology, because apparently there's some town in Florida that the Scientologists have pretty much taken over.
Uh-huh.
But they've done it through elections. And I fought them on it. We didn't do it because I said, wait a minute. Because I have people calling Scientology a cult, right?
Uh-huh.
And I said, wait a minute. That's just a new religion. I said, how is Scientology any different than any of the other religions? I said to them, I said, look, if this were a town in Florida that the Lutherans or the Catholics took over the same way, would you be wanting me to investigate it?
Good point.
You know, I said, come on, Scientology's no goofier than any other religion. They're all pretty goofy to me.
You get a whole new batch of interesting mail after running that episode, no doubt. Well, that's what we like about you, Jesse, is that you speak your mind, you know? You don't censor yourself very much, and that's a refreshing difference. My point is that even if people don't agree with each other, they should at least honor each other's right to free speech.
Exactly. And, you know, to shout people down or call people names because they happen to not believe the government story is ridiculous. And that's what happens with the mainstream media and that. They call you names, they, you know, do this and that. And that's one of the reasons why I guess I'm on the forefront, because it's much more difficult for them to do that to me.
Yeah, that's right. It's hard for them to just corner you and dismiss you because you have been a governor. You have served in the U.S. military. You have created successful TV shows and books. I mean, they can't.
Well, a lot of people don't realize I was a mayor first.
Oh, yeah. I didn't.
I was the mayor of the sixth largest city in Minnesota from 90 to 94.
That was just a warm-up, I guess, huh?
Well, no, it actually was a fight in my neighborhood against a 25-year incumbent mayor. We got kicked off at him, and I challenged him one day at a council meeting. I said, you're going to make me run, aren't you? And his buddy on the city council laughed, and he said, yeah, you couldn't win. Well, I walked out that night knowing I was running for mayor, and I ended up winning 67% of the vote to 33. That's a pretty big landslide in politics.
Yeah, that is pretty big. Do you think, I mean, politics, you saw how dirty it can get, especially in the governor's race.
Yep.
It seems like, would you agree that it's worse today than it was then?
Yeah, I think it's getting progressively worse. I think it's the worst it's ever been right now. You can see it on the national level. I'll give you an example. See, these two political parties, they don't think of the country first. They think of their party first.
Yeah, right.
And I can show you with a great example. Okay, when the big recession or depression, whatever you want to call it right now, when it first hit, George Bush did the first bailout, right?
Yes.
With money to the banks.
Right.
Well, all the Republicans voted for it. Then when Barack Obama comes in and does essentially the second one, which was the same thing, all the Republicans voted against it. So that shows you that, you know, it's all political. It's all about their parties and their party power, and they personally could give a damn less about the rest of the country.
Yeah, unfortunately, that seems to be the case. What do you think this is all taking us, Governor? I mean, what's ahead for America?
Well, you know, I always believe in my country, and I always believe we'll survive everything, but I see worse ahead unless we get away from this. You know, the people can still stop it all, and there's a simple way to do it, but the lemmings won't do it. You know what that is? Stop voting for Democrats and Republicans. Vote for other people. It's that simple. We have the control in our hands. All we have to do is exercise it.
But you notice how strong a role fear plays in all this. They scare people into thinking they're going to waste their vote, right? Because we don't have instant runoff voting in this country.
Well,
so they scare people.
Yeah, but how you counter that, you simply look at them and say, no, voting is not like a horse race. You're not in there to pick the winner. You're there to vote for the candidate that most represents your beliefs.
Yeah.
And so you vote your conscience and your heart. If you don't vote your conscience and your heart, then you've wasted your vote.
What about the other angle on this, that too many Americans are now just... So many are on these psychiatric drugs and psychotropic drugs that they can't vote consciously and intelligently anymore anyway. This is a big concern.
Well, I don't know that so much if they're that loaded with them that they can't think straight. I mean, heck, I don't know if it's to that level or whether that would play a role in it or not. I just think that we have a lemming mentality. as I said earlier, they don't like anything that disrupts their little nucleus.
Right.
And so as long as the world is good, as far as they can see visually, then everything's okay.
I was interviewing a police officer in Arizona, knew a bunch of the guys down there, and I was doing a show, and I asked him about traffic accidents and what percentage of the traffic accidents were caused by people who are on medication, not alcohol, not marijuana, just medication. And he told me 30%.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't doubt it. I wouldn't doubt that at all. I mean, look at all the kids today, the children that they got on drugs. I mean, it's ridiculous. That, you know, right away if a kid misbehaves or something's a little different about them, the first thing they do is stick them on some sort of drug. Ritalin,
sure,
or whatever the hell that stuff is.
Yep.
You know, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, and they say it's going to make your children's teacher happy and they're going to do well in school as long as they're on this drug. And it's the same old lies just repackaged with new chemicals.
Yep.
Let's talk about the media.
And not even natural chemicals, artificial ones.
Yeah, yeah, all patented, you know, monopoly price chemicals. I want to ask you about the media now. I know this is a huge topic. You've had just legendary battles with the mainstream media in Minnesota and across the country, but they know to take you seriously. Now, what has happened to the media? We used to have real investigative journalists back in the 60s and 70s. Today, they seem to be nowhere. What's going on?
Well, because I think that they're all bought and sold and owned by the government. That's all part of government control. You know, we're losing our rights right now. We've lost the Fourth Amendment right of illegal search and seizure. They've blown that thing right out of here. Habeas corpus is gone. They can now arrest you and hold you and not even let you see a lawyer and not even charge you for as long as they want. And so we've got to, you know, and I thought that Barack Obama would bring that stuff back, but he hasn't. And that's what been my big disappointment in him, is the fact that he's letting all this Bush stuff still remain.
Yeah, Patriot Act, for example.
Yeah, they should repeal and get rid of the Patriot Act. It's ridiculous. All it does is take away our freedoms. You know what's interesting about that, too? Remember what George Bush told us why we were attacked? He said they attacked us because of our freedoms.
That's right.
So what is George's method for stopping the attacks? Take away our freedoms.
Yeah, we'll show them.
Yeah, we'll show them we won't have freedom anymore, and then they won't attack us anymore.
Exactly.
Well, I would rather, and I've said this many times, I would rather face the terrorists than lose my freedom.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. I don't want the government trying to protect me against every little thing. Even terrorists. Where are the terrorists? You know, the FDA kills more people than the terrorists.
Yep.
I did the math on that.
Oh, yeah. I'll give you some math. Here's a good one. Did you know in the last 30 years that more people have died in their bathtub than have died from an act of terrorism, including the spike of 9/11? Now I'll have fun with it. So because of that, shouldn't we create the Department of Bathtub Security? And then what we should do is have a color-coded thing where they can tell us which months out of the year most people die in the bathtub, so we'll be more vigilant. And then they could have a bathtub team that could come in your house without a warrant to check and make sure you got all the right safety stuff. You know, because dying in your bathtub is a higher percentage that'll happen to you than dying at the hands of a terrorist.
Well, the alert level today is orange for your bathtub.
Well, it's always orange. I never see it any different.
You live outside the United States full-time?
No, I don't.
Part-time?
I live 50-50.
Oh, okay.
I live in Minnesota half the year and Mexico the other half.
Do you find it strange when you go back and forth and you come back into the U.S. after being gone for a while, do you find it odd to hear in the airport, for example, they'll have the security the audio warning messages? Do you feel like you're walking back into a police state sometimes?
Well, not so much when I fly. Where I really see that is, I drive it every year.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I see it at the borders driving.
I see.
Two times I've gone into Mexico out of the last 5 years driving. I've never even gotten papers. There's nobody even there.
What?
Yeah. Now, this is going into Mexico.
Yeah.
They're two separate gates. You got a gate coming into the U.S., and you got another one that lets you into Mexico. When I've crossed into Mexico, there's been nobody there. I've been down there for 6 months without a paper.
Wow, so you just drove through.
That all I need to come back is my passport.
Sure.
To get back in the country. Oh, yeah, no. One time I crossed at Tecate, And it was right away at 6 in the morning when they opened the gate, and the guy was just walking in immigration, the Mexican man, and I pulled up. I said, say, can I get my papers? Do you know what he said to me?
What?
He looked at me and says, ah, get him an Ensenada. Well, I didn't get him at all. I just kept driving. You know, nobody ever asks you for them down there. They don't care. All they care is that you bring some dollars with you and change them into pesos and spend some money.
Yeah. I know that drill.
But yet, when I come back into the United States, oh my God, it's like coming into East Berlin now.
Yeah. But even, I mean, don't they recognize you?
Wait, I'll tell you a good story. I crossed a couple years ago with my RV, and they searched it, and they knew who I was. They knew that I was a former governor.
Yeah.
They searched my RV, and what do you think they confiscated from me and would not let me bring across the border?
Medicine.
Nope.
I don't know.
Here's Homeland Security at its finest. You're wrong. Guess again. I'll tell you. You know what they took? My dog's dog food.
Oh, you're kidding me.
No.
Why?
Because I'm driving back to the U.S., so it only takes about 6 days, so I only bring a 6-day supply. And I had it in an open plastic bag under the counter, sink. Well, because it wasn't in its original container, they confiscated it. And I said, well, what's my dog supposed to eat now? I have a very special dog. I don't like buying him gravy train.
Yeah.
You know, from the crappy stores. I feed him specific food, a specific dog food, which I bought. I told these guys, I purchased this in Minnesota. I'm giving you my word of honor as a governor. They wouldn't hear of it.
What?
They wouldn't hear of it.
You know, that's,
they took it from me, so I had to drive to a truck stop and buy my dog this crappy dog food. And, like, I could have understood it had I had, like, 40-pound bags. My dog was the only dog that would eat this food. There was only enough for him, and they took it.
You know, this is the way that America treats not only its own citizens, but its own civil servants.
I can do you better than that one. You want the worst of all?
Yeah.
I got wanded when I was governor.
By who and where?
Minneapolis Airport. I had to travel quickly to California, and it was right after 9/11, and it was a one-way ticket. We bought it at the spur of the moment, so it kicked me out.
Oh, my.
You know, and so they're wanding me, and I turned to the kid, and I said, you know, when does common sense enter into this? And he goes, well, what do you mean, sir? And I said, well, when's the last time a seated governor attempted to hijack a plane? Well, he had a good answer. He said, well, we can't make exceptions, sir. And I said, okay, I understand that. But I said, I'll ask you again when common sense enters in. And he goes, what now? I said, well, you see the two guys over there in the suits waiting for me? He goes, yeah. I said, those are my security. They're both carrying 9mm, and they're getting on the plane with me. I'm their boss. If I order them to give me their gun, they have to do it. I said, so I'm getting on the plane with two guys carrying guns, and you're wanding me.
Right.
Now, how ridiculous was that?
Yeah, well.
And yet, get this, when I was going to California, this is Minnesota. I get out to California. The California Highway Patrol picks me up at the plane before it even gets to the gate. They unload me off. And then when I came back later to come home, I didn't even go through the terminal. California drove me right out onto the tarmac and loaded me up the side of the plane before anybody else even got on.
Wow. And of course,
and I'm not even the governor of California.
Exactly. Well, now, of course, they've got the full body scanners going on. What, 11 airports in the U.S. going to start scanning everybody?
Yep. There go your rights.
Showing your naked image. But again, this is...
Well,
this
I'll give you another one. You know, I had my hip replaced. I had the new resurfacing done where they give you resurface your hip with carbon titanium steel.
Yeah.
So I set the beepers off now every time. Every time. I get wanded every time now. I have to stand there and go through that rigmarole. Well, one day I'm there, and there's three of us waiting. So it entered my head, and I turned to the other two guys, and I said, well, it's my right hip. The other guy goes, it's my left hip. And the other guy goes, it's my left knee. So the only thing they're truly finding out is who's had prosthesis surgery.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That's part of what it is now, is to demean people. I mean, they're going to be, with the full body scanners, they're going to be able to tell who's had a mastectomy, for example.
Yeah.
Who has prosthetic limbs. I mean, this is not about security, as you well know. They can sneak, you know, People can sneak bombs onto planes. The FAA does it every few years, just testing their own security.
Yeah. Oh, no, no. This stuff goes way beyond security, and this country and its people better wake up to it.
That's the last question here. Well, the last subject area I wanted to ask you is how do we wake people up to this? I mean, you're doing a great job, but how do we wake up millions more?
I don't know. We just got to be vigilant. We got to keep talking about it. You can't shut up. You know, you got to talk about it and make people think and make them get out of their shells and realize that, you know, you have to be diligent to have your freedom. And you have to, I'm a great believer that you hold your government's feet to the fire. If you do that, you'll get good government. If you don't do that, you're going to get bad government. And I guess it's going to, probably it'll have to take about a day of martial law before anybody wakes up, and by then it could be too late.
It may very well be too late. Whatever happened to the government, they're supposed to be afraid of the people because the people are in charge and the people grant freedom or rights to the government.
Oh, no, they're not. The government is the main entity now.
Yeah.
The people are secondary to the government now.
One thing I noticed living in South America that you may relate to from Mexico is that in South America, people aren't afraid to protest. They'll fill the streets with signs and chanting and marching, and they'll take a guy and throw him out of office physically. They'll just literally carry him out of office and throw him. In America, people wouldn't dream of it anymore. They're afraid
to
protest.
Well, not ever since Vietnam. You know, to me, although I will, there were a lot of protests over the Iraq War. It's just our mainstream media wouldn't cover them. You know, there were some very big protests over Iraq, but the mainstream media just ignored it, and that way the general public had no idea. In fact, where there was real protest over in Iraq was in Europe. Huge protests in Europe.
Yeah, but again, no big coverage from the media.
No, well, because the media, to me, is controlled by the government here now. It isn't the free media that it used to be.
No, not at all. What do you think about...
Well, you got to remember, all the media is owned by like three conglomerates now.
Yeah.
They own the entire mainstream media, so, the government only has to deal with two or three entities to control the entire media.
Where do you get your information, then? What do you consider a good source?
The Internet.
Yeah, I second that.
No, I mean, there's a lot of crap on the Internet, and you can't believe everything on the Internet, certainly. But at least they still haven't figured out a way to stop it yet. But believe me, they're working on it.
Yeah, they are. They're going to try to make it so you can't post anonymously. You have to have your digital fingerprint goes with every web page that you upload, things like that.
Oh, yeah. See, you're going to watch them slowly erode the freedoms of the Internet until they get control of it. See, the Internet is the wild cowboy right now. That's the one that they, that's on the loose right now, disturbs the government the most, I think.
Absolutely. I mean, a lot has come out. I mean, in fact, I think even the success of your show is due in part to the Internet supporting the popularity of the show itself. I mean, there's a lot of buzz.
I fully agree. That's why we kind of gear it towards the Internet in its own way.
Yeah. Well, you've been able to bridge this, though. You can get onto Larry King Live. I mean, you get invited to the mainstream media, and you're very popular on
the
Internet.
Not anymore. Fox News won't even talk to me about this book.
That's hard to believe. I mean, why?
Nope.
Why wouldn't they?
O'Reilly, Hannity, and Glenn Beck all passed on having me on the show.
Wow. Well, they're going to regret that because I think this book, American Conspiracies, is going to do extremely well, Governor Ventura.
Well, I just hope all I ask people to do is sit down with an open mind and read it and remember this. It is not my imagination. I'm not trying to be Vince Flynn or Tom Clancy or any of them. Everything in this book is based upon documentation, and a great deal of that documentation comes right from our own government.
I'm really glad you're including all that in the book because that's what people ask for. They want to see citations or copies of documents whenever possible. And even then, many times, they still don't believe what they're reading.
Yep. Hopefully, eventually, we'll take our country back, I hope.
I hope so, too. I want to thank you so much, Governor, for joining us today. And just to remind those listening, once again, the book is called American Conspiracies. You can find it in booksellers everywhere. Check out Jesse Ventura's show, Conspiracy Theory, which will have new episodes coming out throughout 2010 and I think into 2011, correct?
Yep.
All right. Well, thank you very much for your time, and I really enjoyed talking.
No problem. All right. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.